So I want to thank Father Richard for inviting me to preach, but I also want to thank him for talking about love is only creative at the very beginning, because it happens to be my theme. So there's a little bit of God incidence there. Yes, these words of St. Maximilian, only love is creative, was something that he spoke in the midst of the suffering and horror and hate of Auschwitz. They were words of encouragement to one of the prisoners. He was sitting next to him, and he whispered these words. He said, "Hate is not creative. Only love is creative. These sufferings will not cause us to crumble, but will help us more and more to become stronger. They are necessary even, together with the sacrifices of others, so that the ones who come after us will be happy." St. John Paul referred to St. Maximilian as the apostle of our difficult age because he directly confronted with faith, hope, and charity the movements and historical forces of our times that are arrayed against the goodness of God. Militant atheism in its many forms, like atheistic communism, religious indifferentism, Freemasonry, the modernist heresy, many other movements of the modern world, all these drew the attention of St. Maximilian's apostolic zeal and ultimately led him to confront the evils of our age at Auschwitz in a way that was truly epic. His story is truly a thing of legend. St. John Paul called him the apostle of our difficult age, having been a young contemporary of St. Maximilian in Poland and himself experiencing firsthand both the Nazi and the communist occupations. Both of these great saints hold out a message of hope for all of us. John Paul began his pontificate with the words, "Be not afraid." And St. Maximilian ended his life 80 years ago today as the martyr of charity. St. John, in today's first reading, tells us that we are to model our lives on Christ, and we have come to know his love because he's laid down his life for us. And in turn, we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. And if we see someone truly in need and cause them and hold back our compassion, then we don't have the love of God within us. And he says, "Children, let us not love in word or speech, but in deed and truth." And St. Maximilian did exactly this. He is the inverse of all the forces of evil that imposed him. St. Maximilian was refused the slightest amount of compassion at the hands of the Nazi. On the contrary, he was subjected to the most terrible tortures because he was known as a Catholic priest. Yet he never hesitated to lend a hand to those in need. Malnourished as he was, he gave his food away to those whose lot was worse than his. He risked his life to hear confessions of other prisoners and to counsel them. He offered his life for a man he didn't even know. And he ministered as a priest to the 9 other men that were condemned to death with him in the bunker. But perhaps most poignantly, he was patient with his Nazi captors. He prayed for them and directed his compassion even towards them. 10 men were condemned to death because one man had escaped, and St. Maximilian offered his life for one of the prisoners who called out that he didn't even know, "I have a wife and a family." And so St. Maximilian went to the commandant and said, "I am old and useless. I am a Catholic priest. Let me take his place." And providentially, instead of killing them both, he allowed Francis Gajaniczek, the man who had called out, to live, and St. Maximilian took his place, went into the bunker with 9 other men, and there he turned the death bunker into a chapel where they were praying and singing hymns to the Blessed Mother. And all of this comes about for a reason. How did St. Maximilian have the strength to bring love into the darkest of places? How could he be creative in the worst nightmare that a person could imagine? How did the death bunker turn into a chapel where men of faith prepared for heaven with hymns to Our Lady? Why is he the apostle of our difficult times. When he was a child, 8 or 9 years old, he had a vision of Our Lady in the parish church. While he was kneeling before her statue, she appeared to him, and she held out 2 crowns, one white and one red. And he understood that she was offering him the grace of purity, represented by the white crown, and martyrdom, represented by the red crown. And he said, "I will take both." And then he conceived in his heart that he needed to fight for Our Lady. Our Lady's Queen of Poland. All Poles have a great devotion to the Blessed Mother. He took that to heart, but it meant something more for him because Our Lady had appeared to him in this way, and that brought him to dedicate himself to Our Lady in a very Franciscan spirit. St. Bonaventure tells us, conceived his way of life at the little chapel of St. Mary of the Angels because Our Lady had interceded for him and had inspired him to conceive of an evangelical way of life that was something like her cooperation in the divine plan by which she conceived Jesus in her womb. And St. Francis, back in those days when he passed away and the friars saw for the first time his stigmata, they considered it a sign of God's providence, a sign that God was working in the world and that we are all called to face the rising of the sun where God is and to know that he is present in our lives. And that St. Francis was a sign of the end times, not necessarily of the very end, but of these difficult times, these difficult ages, that when the things are really hard and difficult, that God is most active. He's in the details. He's in the details of our prayers, works, and joys, as we say in the morning offering, and our sufferings. And St. Maximilian understood that Our Lady was at the heart of this. She is the great sign, you know, that appears in the sky, clothed with the sun, standing on the moon, crowned with 12 stars, in conflict with the ancient serpent. And she, in some way, brings all the forces of nature. That's what that symbol in Revelations 12 represents. She's bringing the stars, the moon, and the sun into conjunction as though she has control over the forces of history. Ultimately, of course, God does, and Jesus does. But Jesus comes into this world as the Lord of history by becoming the Son of Mary, by humbling himself and being born of the Virgin. And this is what St. Maximilian understood. And his death in the camp of Auschwitz is a sign, like Our Lady clothed with the sun, like St. Francis stigmatized, turned into a living crucifix. It's a sign that love is transforming. And so when it came time to canonize him, Paul VI had beatified him, and had beatified him as a confessor, which doesn't mean he heard confessions. It means that he was canonized for his way of life. They investigated his whole life, and they found that he practiced the virtues in a heroic degree through his life. And so he was beatified for that reason, not as a martyr, but as a confessor. So white vestments. And just before St. Maximilian was going to be canonized, the German and Polish bishops petitioned John Paul to canonize him a martyr. And they argued that because he fulfilled the words that we read about in the gospel today, no greater love has a man that he laid down his life for his friends. This is the new commandment, the greatest of all the commandments. Because he did this, he deserves to be called a martyr, even though he didn't die for an article of the faith. Nobody knew what the Pope was going to do, and they only came to realize what he was going to do when he came out with all the cardinals in red vestments. Those are his 2 crowns. He was beatified, a confessor, and canonized a martyr. And he remains, I think, in this day, these difficult times, you know, a very important sign for all of us, a sign that our Lord's new commandment, that we love one another as he has loved us, is truly possible. The martyr of charity, because of his consecration to Our Lady, lived this new commandment in the most radical way, conforming himself to the image of Christ crucified. Love one another as I have loved you, as he does from the cross. This is the friendship of Christ. He calls us not slaves anymore, but friends. The friendship of Christ is to realize that his love is manifested to us in the cross. We are not slaves, but his friends, because we have been empowered to love one another the way he has loved us. This is our apostolate in this difficult age, our ministry to those who suffer. In the words of St. Therese, we are to be love like St. Maximilian in the heart of the church, because only love is creative. Like St. Maximilian, we too live in trying times. We are called to be apostles in this difficult age. We are called to transform our world by charity, because only love is creative. Just before Jesus became incarnate in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the angel Gabriel told her that nothing is impossible for God. The woman clothed with the sun is the great sign of God's transforming love brought into the world by the Son of the woman. Everything is subject to his power, and he has made his mother the mistress of history, even in this difficult age. St. Maximilian is a sign for our times that our dedication and our consecration to Mary is the safest, surest, and quickest way to our Lord Jesus Christ.